Reformed Church.
I just, you know, recently I was the Lord kind of brought me back to review some of my stuff on Power to Wealth, like just my notes and things, and in thinking about wealth and everything, I was also thinking about how people, because that does put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth about when you talk about wealth, I think there's different things, there's different reasons for that. On one hand, people don't realize that it's not having wealth that's the problem, but it's seeking it that's the problem. It's your attentions on these things and your value of these things that really is the root problem. I taught on this in the earlier part of the Power to Wealth series, but if you read through Matthew 6, he really goes over a bunch of things throughout the chapter, and he just makes a distinction between possessing wealth and seeking it, having your attentions, having your eyes on these things. And a lot of people have an inflated value of money in their mind, and they really do see it as more than it is. I mean, the money itself, and their attentions are there. And when people are talking about money all the time, or talking about their wealth, or even when people sort of tend to brag on the things that they have, that's an inflated value of money, and that's you know, that's seeking wealth. And you know, it's funny. I've told even just recently, I was telling Miss Kim about how hanging out with people that are rich, a lot of times, it's not a problem with being wealthy, but so many people that are wealthy have take such pride in the fact that they are wealthy, and they feel very successful because of it, and that's really what's wrong. It's a mentality that's wrong about wealth. And so when someone is talking about money or prospering in finances, when it comes across kind of like they're bragging about what they have, or when it comes across that they have an inflated opinion of physical possessions that are really just corruptible and passing away, and God, you know, if you read Scripture, He does not have a real great opinion of these things. They're just corruptible things. But when people have that inflated opinion, or when their attention seems to be like all on wealth, people, though, get a bad taste in their mouth, and then they attribute it to them having wealth. And that's wrong. Because God does want us to have wealth, and there's a reason why God wants to have wealth, and it's a good kingdom reason why He wants us to have wealth. But I think a lot of people, when they get that bad taste in their mouth, they just attribute it to the wrong thing. They think that it's like, oh, having wealth means everything that I just heard from this person. It means, you know, people are very they're very prideful over their wealth, and they and people's attention are on it. But again, that's the difference between seeking it and having it. And so on one hand, that's the wrong side of it when you're seeking these things, when your attention's on these things. And I think that's one thing that puts a bad taste in people's mouth. So that's one way to kind of go wrong. But also, obtaining wealth, though, is not strictly for our own purposes. And I think that's really important to highlight as well. When God adds wealth to you, I believe that it's accurate to say this, and I know that people might take this the wrong way if you think about it in a way that I'm really not intending it. But God's first priority with wealth or with any of His blessings or anything like that is you. The Bible says that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That means if you seek God, He's rewarding you. If you seek Him, He's not rewarding you just to get it through you to somebody else. Even if you were the only one on earth, that verse stands true, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you seek Him, you get the reward out of seeking Him. And part of that is empowerment to wealth. So I believe it's accurate to say that God's first priority when it comes to wealth is to take care of you. Like, that's His point here, right? Even if no one else existed on the earth, He still wants to take care of you. But I think also in saying that, people might lose sight of the fact that the Bible says that we're to use our members, our bodies, as instruments of righteousness. That means that God has a plan and a purpose for the use of our body. There are things that He wants to do through us to help other people and to preach the gospel and to minister to people in various different ways. And money is not strictly for our purposes. It's so important to realize that there's a higher purpose for our money than just spending it on ourselves. And, you know, when we think about God empowering us to wealth, that it just sort of means in our mind that we can get like bigger house, bigger house, bigger house, bigger house, bigger house, and now we can get a yacht, and now I can, and really there's nothing wrong with having a big house or having a yacht for that matter. It's really not. If there was, God would have led Solomon into sin, because, you know, He made Solomon wealthier than any kings that were before or after him in Israel. So, again, it's not about the possession of the wealth, but there is, the Bible says, and the best verse to sort of demonstrate the purpose of having wealth in just a single verse, the best verse I know of is 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you having all sufficiency, that means self-satisfaction in all things, in every area of your life, you have self-satisfaction. And that can mean different things depending on how much money you have or how much wealth you have. And then it says that you might have an abundance and excess for every good work. And so you see, it's not just one purpose. It's seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Bread to the eater is talking about God's power to satisfy you, for you to consume yourself. And seed to the sower is talking about enough to give as well. And when God empowers you toward anything, even when God produces his healing through you, again, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you believe God, it's true. His power is manifest to you to heal your body. That's his concern. When you're the one that believes him, you get healing for your body. But God has also given you enough power on the inside of you to heal other people as well. That's another purpose for the healing power of God on the inside of you, is to heal other people. That's a real thing. We are called to, again, I don't want to diminish the fact that God wants you well, and I also don't want to say, like maybe some people might think, that somehow God's healing power working through you is almost primarily for other people. That's not what I mean. I think it's accurate to say that it's primarily for you, because you're the one that believed him. And even when you minister healing to someone else, for instance, they can't live off of that. So the healing power God manifests through you is primarily for you, and I think that is probably the right way to say that. But you have seed to the sower also. You have enough to give. And bread to the eater and seed to the sower, that's something that's in Isaiah 55, and that's talking about the blessings of God, just generally speaking. And God has given you enough for you, and when it's multiplied to you, it's enough for you to eat as much as you will, and then still have left over to give. And when I say left over to give, I don't mean that I'll do everything I want and then hopefully there's enough left over for somebody else, but God will give you an excess of, he has given you an excess of all his blessings, and God desires that to pour out into your finances as well, so that you have enough for you, self-satisfaction in your life, and also enough for every good work. Now, every good work doesn't just include giving to other people. That could include various ministries that God calls you to, that you have enough money to fund the ministries that God has called you to help other people. But it could also mean actually giving of finance to somebody else as well. But regardless of the good work, it's that you might have an excess for every good work. And what is that? What is that? That's bread to the eater and seed to the sower. That's you having all sufficiency in all things, enough for you to consume, and then enough to give, seed to the sower, enough for every good work, seed to the sower. And it's not one or the other. It's both. God has given you enough power on the inside of you for both. And I think, too, that there's a, I may quote this not exactly, you know, word for word or anything like that, but I believe it was David that said that he was dwelling in like this palace, and he said at the time, how can I be dwelling in this house while God's still in a tent, in the tabernacle? And I thought about that recently, and despite the fact that it doesn't represent like a church building, it does represent a place of worship that was symbolic at the time, and something that God used to bring glory to Jesus at the time in symbol. And as sort of a demonstration of worship that was, David had it in his heart that he's like, I'm in all this wealth, and then I'm looking at the dwelling place of God at the time, and it just didn't seem sort of balanced that I have all of this, and then look at the tabernacle, look at where God's dwelling in this tent. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what? It's just because David had that seed to the sower, bread to the eater concept. He recognized that his wealth wasn't just for his own consumption. And I think that that's an important thing to note, that God, with all his blessings, and also, again, with empowerment to wealth, that it's not just for our consumption, though. God does have a purpose for it. There are people, again, not only to give to, which I could teach a lot on even giving, because it doesn't mean you just give to any person that you see or any person that has an evident need. There's criteria in the Bible for giving. But there's a lot of things that God wants to accomplish in this world, And I think when you have an eternal mindset and you know that these things are passing away, we only have them for a short period of time, and then Jesus is going to come back and destroy all these things. When you have an eternal mindset, it really gets you away from, okay, it's true that God will empower you to wealth, and you can have the yacht, you can have the new house, you can have the, like, all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But let me give you a little piece of sort of advice on this that I think is a good way to balance out the way that you use your finances. And I'll just pretty much stop here. And that is this, that I just told you. So let's say you see somebody with a yacht, and a lot of people would just frown on that because, you know, no Christian, no person, you know, should have that much money, and there's a lot of disagreement with that. But knowing that God does want to empower us to wealth, and that possessing the wealth is not wrong, just the seeking of it and all that stuff, knowing all of that, that's not necessarily a wrong use of your money. If you want to buy a yacht, that's not necessarily a wrong use of your money. But you know what, though? I think this holds true with everything I was just mentioning from Scripture, and that is this, that I don't think that buying a yacht at all, that there's anything wrong with that. But if you have whatever it is, $230,000 to spend, and the yacht is $200,000, then I think that that's a wrong use of your money. The Bible says that even our giving and everything that we use our money for should be according to how we've prospered. And so what I believe is, you could buy the yacht, you can have all of that, but it should be when that purchase becomes a frugal purchase for you, and it doesn't take away from the ministry that God wants to accomplish through you, then I think that's okay to spend it on that. I think the problem ends up being when people buy the yacht, when they buy the new house, and it's just the majority of their money, it's just vast majority of their money is getting consumed on themselves, and it's like very little ends up being left over for the ministry that God has for them on this earth. That's a problem. Because then I see, because your money, just so you know, reveals your priorities. Because your money, I could teach a lot on this, but your money does reveal your priorities. So this is why it's so important to budget, because it actually lets you see on paper or on a screen where your money's actually going. And if a yacht is just, if you have to extend yourself to buy that yacht, then you shouldn't be buying a yacht. When a yacht, listen, if you're Solomon and silver is just as common as stones, then if you want a yacht, buy a yacht, right? Like, it's not going to make any difference to you. It's not hindering your ministry on this earth. If you want to overlay your house in gold, if you're Solomon, doesn't matter, because it doesn't take away from your ministry. But here's where I think the problem is with a lot of people is, once they realize power to wealth, they realize, oh, hey, none of these things are evil in and of themselves. God does want me to prosper myself, and that is true. But you should, as far as your purchases and the spending of your money is concerned, it should be, as far as things that when they're consumed upon yourself, there's nothing wrong with it. You shouldn't feel any guilt or condemnation or even think that you're doing something wrong by buying something for yourself or anything. But I'll tell you this, though. I think everyone can sort of attest to this, that this is true, that nothing that we consume upon ourselves, though, should ever be hindering our ministry to other people. I think that's super important. Because you know what? Is there anything wrong with vacation? No. But if vacation is going to hinder my ministry to other people by doing that, then I'd wait on it or go on a smaller vacation. Nothing wrong with buying a yacht, but when you got as much money as, say, Jeff Bezos or something, and you want to buy a yacht, it's not even a blip on the calculations of your finances. It's like your finances didn't even know that happened. Then buy a yacht. And I'm certainly not limiting you to Jeff Bezos, but you understand what I'm saying, that I think that that's really when you realize that there is a dual purpose for our finances, and it's not just to consume upon ourselves. There's nothing wrong with buying something for yourself or going on vacation or buying a new car. Listen, you can have a Porsche, you can have a Lamborghini, you can have all that, but you shouldn't be buying those things until, and I'm saying from a godly perspective, if we want to accomplish something on this earth and wrap this age up, why would you do that, though, if that's going to actually hinder what your ministry and what you want to give? When it starts hindering my giving, like, you just shouldn't be at this point. You shouldn't be saying that I don't have enough for my ministering, but I did this thing that wasn't a necessity. Like, I think that's where the balance really comes in. I think that ministry is so important and the gospel is so important that when you value the gospel so much and you want to tell other people about Jesus, you know in your mind. Listen, let me just share it from my perspective. I am really done right now, but just from my perspective, man, like, I know there's nothing wrong with buying myself something. I know there's nothing wrong with buying something for my apartment or buying something for, you know, or getting a new car. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But, man, like, no, the value that I know the gospel has for me, in fact, that's what empowers me to wealth anyway, is me knowing what Jesus provided. But the gospel also, my desire to share the gospel with other people, I am not going to allow the way that I handle wealth, though, to hinder that. If I ever find out in my life that I could be, that God wants me to be giving more, that God wants me to be ministering more, that God wants to fund something for his kingdom, and somehow that is even coming close to being hindered because I spent my money elsewhere on something that wasn't a necessity, man, I never want that to happen in my life. And I'm not saying I handle my finances perfectly. I'm just saying, though, I think that is where it comes in with the balance of realizing, you know what? You have enough money for a yacht and that becomes a frugal purchase for you and it's frugal, then buy the yacht. But I don't ever want it said, though, that I was ever hindered in the Lord using me or funding some kind of ministry through me because of that spending. So I think that's just a kind of a good balanced way to look at finances, that it is bread to the eater, but it's also seed to the sower. And I just think that just like David, he was looking at it and he'd say, hey, you know what? God is ministering to people through this tabernacle and I don't want to be so wealthy and consuming all this stuff upon myself to where then I see this this balance that's out of whack, where like God's in a tent and I'm in this house and I'm like, wait, hold on a second, like something's wrong. Like, I don't want to be consuming all this stuff here when, you know, now God didn't even let him build the temple. Solomon did, but he actually made a lot of preparations and donations toward the temple to be able to do that. And I think that's a pretty balanced way to look at it, you know, and say like, hey, you know, I don't want to pass up a ministering opportunity if just because I spent my money incorrectly or on myself, you know, maybe a little too soon. So.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.